Okay, we officially began Simon Shin's test in Hilchos Bishul, but there's a detour on the way to Hilchos Bishul, which is Sif Aleph and Simon Shin Yuches and the Sugya Ma'aseh Shabbos, which nominally uses Bishul as a starting point, but it's really a much broader topic. And since it's here, I think we have to treat it at least somewhat. We'll probably spend two shiur amount before you move on to real Bishul. So we're familiar with the three-way Machlokas Tanayim about Ma'aseh Shabbos, emerging from the Mishnah and Trumos, that our Gemara and Shabbos makes passing reference to Olam Chesem and Aleph, but it's much more expansive in various other sugyos in Shas, Kul and Tesvav, Bava Kama Ayin Aleph, Elun Aris, Hanizokin. But let's take a look at it, for starters, from the Gemara in Chulan and Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara here, the context in which it comes up is not really our topic, but the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Trumos, the Tanan, four lines from the top, HaMevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal, B'Mezeh Lo Yochal Divei Rebbe Meir. According to Rebbe Meir, if a person cooks something on Shabbos, B'Shogeg Yochal. So Yochal presumably means even the Mevashel himself is allowed to eat it even on Shabbos itself. So if it's B'shogeg, everybody can eat from this Bishul B'Shabbos even on Shabbos. B'mezid lo Yochal, B'mezid not. What's lo yochel? So Rashi says, lo yochel bo bayom ad shetekshach u'b'chdei shiyasu. So we'll come back to b'chdei shiyasu next time. Rashi holds that you need k'dei shiyasu. Not going to address that yet. Rashi says, lo yochel bo bayom ad shetekshach. So the Mevashel himself can't eat it on Shabbos itself. V'adin l'cheirim nami da'asel l'michle bo bayom. And others also can't eat it on Shabbos itself. So the way Rashi in Chulin understands, according to Remeir, Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, everybody can eat it on Shabbos. Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Mezid, everybody can eat it Motzai Shabbos. No one can eat it on Shabbos. Rashi Ksuvis understands that even according to Remeir, the Mevashel himself, B'Mezid, cannot eat it Olamis. And Rashi in Ksuvis understands that Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal Bein Hu Bein Bacherim Bo Bayom, and B'Mezid Lo Yochal Hu Lo'olam, and Acherim on Shabbos, but they are allowed to eat it but Motzai Shabbos. That's Shitas Remeir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Shogeg Yochal B'Motzai Shabbos, B'Mezid Lo Yochal Olamis. That B'Shogeg the Mevashel himself and others as well can eat it b'motzei Shabbos. B'mezid lo yochal himself olamis, but acherim are mutarim on motzei Shabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler omer b'shogeg yochal l'motzei Shabbos acherim v'lo lo. B'mezid lo yochal olamis lo lo v'lo lachem. So Yochanan Sandler is the most extreme shita, that if a Mevashel B'Shabbos, the Mevashel himself can never eat it, even B'shogeg. If it's B'shogeg, Acherim can eat it Motzei Shabbos. And if it's B'mezid, then Acherim can never eat it, even B'motzei Shabbos. So this is these are the three shitas in Tanayim, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yochanan HaSandler. But even the Gemara in Chulin doesn't give you the whole picture. And for that, we have to look at the Gemara in Bava Kama Ayin Aleph, which puts Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's Shita in context and explains it. And possibly that explanation of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler can help us reflect back to understand Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph in Bava Kama, after presenting this three-way machlokes tanaim, asks, my time with Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. Kedidari, so it sounds like the Gemara more readily understands Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. It only needs to ask about Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. So my time with Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Kedidarish Rabbi Chia Piska de Beinasiya Ushmartemes Hashabbos Ki Kodesh Ulachem Ma Kodesh Asir Bachila Ayaf Ma'is Hashabbos Asur Bachila. There's a hekesh to Kodesh, just like Kodesh or Hekdesh is Aser Bachila, so too Maisa Shabbos is Aser Bachila. The pasuk, Ima Kodesh Aser Bana, Af Maisa Shabbos Aser Bana. So that's the case. If it would be Makish to Hekdesh, then we should Aser Maisa Shabbos Bana as well. Tamar Lomar Lachem, Shalachem Yehei. So that Shalachem comes to exclude a possible Isser Hana. Yachal afilu b'shogeg, tamalom mechalemos yimas, b'meizid amarti lach v'lo b'shogeg. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk as a source for Rabbi Yochanan and Hassanler's more extreme shita, that there's an analogy to Hekdesh, just like Hekdesh is Aser Bachila, so too is Maisa Shabbos Aser Bachila. And then the Gemara presents a machlokas amarayim, whether this is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. So presumably whether we read this pasuk as a din d'oraisa or as an asmachta ba'alma. Okay, so the Gemara here frames Rabbi Yochanan Sandler as being based on a pasuk and a hekish to hektish. It doesn't tell you explicitly what's behind Shitas Rabbi Meir and Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So Rashi tells you, going back to Rashi and Chulin, first within Shitas Rabbi Meir, the mezid the ika isura lo yochel babayama shetechshach ubekdesh yasu. So when it comes to mezid, according to Rabbi Meir, the reason that we aser the mezid is because a ma'isa Shabbos done the mezid involves an iser. V'adin acherim nami the aser lemichle babayom. The time of mishum de lo nimte yanami isurahu. So you're not allowed to get hana from an iser. And then within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who's more machmir, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even b'shogeg, no one can eat it on Shabbos. So there Rashi writes, the afagav de b'shogeg chiyuv skila leka aveira mia ika. So within Rabbi Meir, the presentation is Loninte Hana Mi Sura, and within Rabbi Yehuda, the presentation is Loninte Hana Mi Avera. So both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, this is essentially a knas. It's only Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan Sandler as a pasuk. Even if you assume that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is talking about it in the Raisa, there's no evidence our mayor, there's no source our mayor Yehuda buy into such a din the Raisa, so it's only a Rabbanan, only a Knas. And the way Rashi frames it sounds like, where do we extend the Knas? Do we extend the Knas even in a situation where there was an Aveira done without a Chiyuv Skila, namely Shogeg, or only in a situation of Mason? Only in the situation of Mesa. Or alternatively, you could frame that as, are we gozer, this is not what Rashi says, are we gozer mezid, are we gozer shogeg atu Mesa? Ramosha has a tshuva in which he suggests that Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler's source may reflect back to the other Tanayim as well. Igros Moshe Chelek Bei Simen Ayin Aleph Chelek Bei Simen Ayin Aleph. Rav Moshe is addressing the question as to whether if the light is off in a room and someone turns it on, are you allowed to stay in that room? So he writes, the fact that, according to Yochanan HaSandler, we're learning out from a Hekish to Hekdish, that just like Hekdish is Aser Bachila, not Aser Bahana, so too Maisa Shabbos is Aser Bachila, not Aser Bahana. Meaning to say, that the Isur Maaseh Shabbos is limited to where you're directly benefiting from the malacha that was done, the guf hadavar, which we'll come back to in a little while. So he says, presumably, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be more machmir than Rabbi Yochanan and HaSandler. So if you have that distinction between the level of Maaseh Shabbos that we're talking about, whether the malacha was done to a guf hadavar, and that's what you're directly benefiting from, so that should be relevant to Rabbi Yehuda as well. So that hekish on some level informs Shitas Rabbi Yehuda as well, even though Rabbi Yehuda is not learning out from the same pasuk. The specifics there in terms of defining where Maaseh Shabbos applies and what's considered guf ha-maisa, we'll come back to in a little while, just highlighting the point that in that analysis of Moshe, he indicates that the pasuk, which is the source of Yochanan HaSandler, may resonate in Shita Rabbi Yehuda and possibly Shita Rabbi Meir as well. Okay. This point, said that formulation within Rabbi Yochanan of the Hekish to Hekdish, that which, just like Hekdish is Aser Bachila, so too the product of Maaseh Shabbos is Aser Bachila, that speaks to what is the nature of the Isser of Maaseh Shabbos, and do we view it as an Isser Chefsa? If you perform a Malacha, the classic case of Mevashel, just because that's the Mishnah's case, we'll talk about where it expands beyond Bishul, but if you cook something, so does that which you cook become a chesa shalisura, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, for whom it's asur lo la'olam, or maybe even la'cherim l'motzei Shabbos. So the most extreme presentation of this kind of an isur chesa is what the Magen Avraham references based on a Shuvas HaRashi. Magen Avraham, Shin Yud Ches, Sif Katan Aleph. Mashu HaRashi, Chelek Aleph, Sinu Kufayin Hei, Da Kedera Asur Gamke. That when we say that if you're Mavasha B'Shabbos, we pass the Shachan Aruch like a Behuda, that aser lo la'olam, for the mevashel himself, it's aser to use that food that you cooked on Shabbos la'olam. Magen Avraham quotes in the Rashba, hakadei rasur gamke, that even the pot that you cooked the food in on Shabbos becomes aser la'olam. And Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Sifkat and Dalet. What's the Rashba? Rashba is chelek aleph simen kuf ayin hey. And it's interesting because to the extent that you would derive this from the Rashi, it's really from the Shaila more than from the Tshuva. Tshuva is the Rashi, Rechelik HaLeg Simen Kuf Ayin Hei. Kedera Shabishol VaYisrael Itzara Chol HaSheish VaSakana. So you have a Chol HaSheish VaSakana on Shabbos, you're allowed to cook for him. And another Yisrael cooked on behalf of this Chol HaSheish VaSakana. Im Hi Asura, Mnei Shabishlu VaShabbos. So that pot that you cooked in Beheter on Shabbos for the Chol HaSheish V'Sakana, does that pot become Aser to use subsequently? O Muteres, Nenei She'ein Ma'is HaShabbos Asurin Elev Yochanan HaSamler V'Lo Kaimelan K'Vaseh. Or is it butter because we don't pass like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? Only according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is the Ma'is HaShabbos Aser La'olam La'cherim. It's a funny assumption because that's been made that in his, the premise of talking about Chol HaSheish V'Sakana, and then the way he's asking the question, the show, it sounds like we're treating it like Mazid. Okay, but that's all dismissed in the answer, but I don't know how much stock to put into the way questions formulated in the Jewish Rashba. Odil Basura came in the Ekel and Nigzer Shemi Yarba Ba Lizar Bari. Or do we say that no, it'll be Aser La'olam and we'll treat it like Mazid? Since we should be gozer, then maybe you'll be marbeh for a healthy person. Okay, so the Rashba says, "Davar baruch zeh l'kul yama shei muteres." There's no shaila here. It's pasha that the kedera is muteres. Shafilu tavsho atma muter le'erev, v'afilu b'yochum esamler. In this case, even the food itself would be muter moseh Shabbos, even according to b'yochum esamler. Here we're talking about Eris Beheter because it was done for Chola, that it's no worse than Shog, definitely no worse than Shogeg. The Daka Beshogeg Beisr. So the question doesn't get off the ground. There's nothing to talk about. And yet the Magen Avraham says, you see from this Rashba that there's an Isser at the Kedera, meaning the Rashba didn't say the question doesn't get off the ground because the Kedera is never a Surah. He just said it doesn't get off the ground because this is a case where the Bishul was Beheter for Chol HaSheish V'Sakana. But if it had been Bishul Isser, then the Kedera Taka would be a Surah, like standard Machol HaSuras. So that's an interesting diyuk because you maybe would have said if you're blowing a question out of the water because it's so absurd, you don't have to attack it on all possible grounds. But you know, there's still a diyuk that if the Gedei was never a sewer, then the Rashi should have said that either instead or as well. So that's the Magen Avraham's three-line citation of the Shuvah Rashba. Must be that the Rashba assumes, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Magen Avraham, La'alach and Tzivkat and Dalid, that if you have Ma'isa Shabbos, if you are Mevashel the Shabbos, the Nezid, let's say, then the Kedera itself is going to be Asura, the Kedera as the din of Macholos Asuras. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, Rav Shlomo Zalman is a very lengthy tshuva, Chelek Aleph Mincha Shlomo, Simen Hei. Chelek Aleph Simen Hei, addressing various aspects of Ma'aseh Shabbos. So he writes, this is Anaf Gimel. So he writes in explaining this Rashba, that whenever a person performs a Malacha B'Shabbos B'Mezid, on a food item, and it affects that food item, as Bishul does, so that is the status of Macholos Asuros. And the item that the Malach is done to becomes a Chetza Shel Isura. So even if, he says, let's say you have a roasted piece of meat, and then someone is mevashel the piece of meat, so it was originally roasted, now someone cooks it on Shabbos. So even if you prefer roasted meat to cooked meat, but there is a malacha done that affected this object, the piece of meat, that piece of meat becomes aser. And akadei kach, that we treat the kedera based on this Rashba as a kedera of macholos asuros. And you have to do Hagala to remove the blios of Maaseh Shabbos, even though in Svara you should have said that at least let it become an Eino Ben Yomo, and then it should become Mutter, because Eino Ben Yomo is nothing Tam Lefgam. So at that point, what are you worried about? That the blios of the Macholos Asuras of Maaseh Shabbos that are going to come out when you use the pot? That's a blio of nothing Tam Lefgam. So that seems like super chumer to say that even once it's nothing Tam Lefgam, you can't use the Kedera anymore without Hagala. There's no, apparently, since Chazal decided that we're going to treat this as Macholos Asuras, so we go all the way. And just like in practice by Macholos Asuros, we're not matir something just because it's Eino Ben Yomo, even though it's nothing Tam Lefgam. So just like the Macholos Asuros, where goes are at Eino Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo. So Maaseh Shabbos also, we follow the pattern of Macholos Asuros, and where goes are Eino Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo. Right, so this seems like the most extreme possible way of saying that the subject of your malacha Shabbos, at least your malacha b'mezid, where it's going to be aser lo la'olam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so that makes it into a chetza of Macholos Asuros, akdei kach, that if it's a kedera, you can't use a kedera without a gola, and even if it's Eino Ben Yomo, you can't use it. Yeah.
How would that work? Just you couldn't use it, but others could use it? Meaning,
so,
like someone could use my pot, can I eat from the pot? Meaning,
right. So
I can't cook with it. Like I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there a mashal also for the Bodhisar or other Macholos Asuros?
Yeah, so this is, it sounds like it's a little bit unique, meaning the way, this is a Knas Derabanan. So the way this is formulated by Chazal is that there's a distinction in the severity of the Knas between Lo and Acherim. So for the Mevashel himself, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we'll see, we generally pass them like, so it'll be Asir Lo 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 Lachem Li Matil Matzei Shabbos. So yeah, it'll talk and come out, if you accept this Rashi with the Magen Avraham Mishneberurah quotes, that as far as the Mevashel himself, for him, it's a chetza of Isser. And just like the chasicha of Basar itself, if you cook something on Shabbos, so that's that distinction, that you're never allowed to eat it. And so that's subjective Macholos Asuros. Right? So that's something unique, that it'll be mutter for Achayim and Asar for him. So it's no different, it's just transpose a step to the Kedera. But that's what the Maaseh Shabbos, the din of the Basar itself is, that it's a subjective Macholos Asuros, that we have this Knas, so we that for you is considered Macholos Asuros, but not for someone else. Is there a model for that?
I'm saying by, let's say by Nidar, is there such thing as a plios? I'm saying that would be the model. Like an ass or the same thing that,
right. You know, Nidar is a bad.
I'm sorry?
Like I said, like,
those are bad examples. Right, if you're Mudr Hanaf from... What do we say about the blios of a pot? If you're Mudr Hanaf... Well, if you're Mudr Hanaf from the pot, then you can't benefit at all from the pot. Okay, but you don't have to go out to blios, meaning... Right, so I guess if you'd have a pot, that's also for you, a mutter din, because you're a mutter or not from a pot.
No, if you're a mutter or not from a piece of meat, and there's a blia from the meat into the pot, so am I now usher to the pot?
So if it's nothing Tam Lefgam, so there you say there's no Xerif. Meaning here it's a... there's no reason that we should have asked the nothing Tam Lefgam in this context, if not for the fact that this is part of the package of the Knas for Maaseh Shabbos. So by another, we wouldn't say that, but the model is true. I mean, that's like, right, that's a good example of a subjective, I guess, call it subjective Macholos Asuros.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're saying it's Halacha L'Maisa?
He's saying this Halacha L'Maisa. Mereshes Moshe points out that there's another Rashba, and you have to figure out how these two Rashbas stem. The Beis Yosef in the end of Simon Reish Gimel, that's the Hafsaris, the Shia Hafsaris Simon. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba and Shuvah, but it doesn't look like we have this in our collection of Shuvahs and Rashba, at least based on the citation in the Talmud Torah. But he quotes a Shuvahs and Rashba that if the Beis Yosef in the end of Kufnu Gimel, If a Nachri is Mevashel... If a Nachri is Mevashel on behalf of Yisrael on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to benefit from the food that he cooked for you. I'm sorry, he's talking about a case where he heats it up. A guy heats something up for Yisrael on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to benefit from it even after it cools down. Even la'achar shenitztanein, you're not allowed to benefit from that that malacha that the Nachri did on your behalf. And the line there in the Rashba is that you're not allowed to benefit from it ba'osa ha-Shabbos on that day. Okay, so you're not talking about a bishul Yisrael, you're talking about bishul or a malacha done by a Nachri. If it's done by a Nachri on behalf of Yisrael to heat up the food, you're not allowed to benefit from it on that day, even if it then cools off. So at the time that you want to benefit from it, the malacha of the Nachri did had no effect anymore. He had heated it up, now it's cooled back to room temperature. There's no lasting effect of the malacha. Still, you're not allowed to benefit from it La'osa ha-Shabbos. So the Moresh of Moshe, of course, in Tilo David, that should be true of a Kol Shekein if Yisrael himself is doing malacha, right? If Yisrael himself is heating it up, and then it cools down, if Yisrael does it b'mezid, and then it cools down, it should be asked to benefit from it the same way. But the Rashba, the way the Beis Yosef quotes it, says it's only Aser Ba'osa Shabbos. But it'll be Mutter La'achar Shabbos. So I'm not sure why it's Muchach from this Beis Yosef that you wouldn't be more machmir on Maisa Shabbos than by Amir Lenachri. Because we'll see there are situations where we're more machmir on Maisa Shabbos than Amir Lenachri. But the way the Maresh and Moshe frames it, he thinks that whatever the Rashba says by Amir Lenachri should be true by Maisa Shabbos. And therefore it sounds like if it's Azalei Bishulo, so to speak, if the effect of the Malacha done by the Nachri is no longer there and it cools off, then even though it'll be Aser on that day, but it'll be mutter on Moshe Shabbos. According to the Rashba, that the day is Aser, that there's an Isser Chesed, so to speak, on the subject of the Bishul, then why shouldn't this food be Aser La'olam? Okay, I'm not convinced that that's the strongest Kasha, because maybe you'd still distinguish between Maisa Shabbos and Amir Lenachri, and even if by Amir Lenachri it will be Muslim Maisa Shabbos, Maisa Shabbos still could be Aser Olamis for the person who did the Malacha. But he frames that as a question. But either way, whether you are bothered by the question or not bothered by the question, there is a tshuva of the Tzav Sofer that seems to minimize the scope of the Tshuva Sarashva regarding Kedera. Again, the Tshuva Sarashva that didn't say anything directly about asking the Kedera, but by implication from the fact that he did reject the Shoal premise. So there's the Tshuva Ksav Sofer Arachayim Simin Nun, addressing the status of Kalim Shenisbashel Behem B'Shabbos, and whether Yutaka have to be worried about the Blios and do Hagolah on that Kli. So, first he says, maybe this should be totally on Machlokes Yishonim, whether there's Blios by Bishalakim. if you have a frying pan that a nukri cooked in, so there's bishul akum dan on your frying pan, does that frying pan become usur now because of blias of bishul nukri? Does it require hefsher? If a nukri cooks in a pot, does that require hefsher? So that's a machlokas rishonim. And it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, and 7 Tufyugimel, Sami Yeshomrim, whether you have to be Makshir Kalim from Dishalakim. So what's that dependent on? So, according to those Rishonim, that you don't require Hefsher Kalim for Dishalakim, that's because the whole reason for the Yitzhak Dishalakim is a Chashash Chasinus. And we're not going to aser blios and platos because of a chashash chasinus. So the whole reason is there is chashash chasinus, that doesn't apply to the kelim. And those who've shown him that that require hefsher kelim for bishul akum assume, no, that is an across-the-board zera of bishul akum, and is subject to all the rules and regulations of machalos asuros in general. So it says the Ksav Sofer, it could be that our shaila would be dependent on that. That if you hold those rishonim that were makel on bishul akum, that we're not worried about the blios because of no chashash kasanos. So when it comes to mevashel b'shabbos, the reason of the aser is because of a knas. Knas, so you shouldn't come to be nene from Malacha Shabbos. So here, there's no hanami Malacha Shabbos in the Blias. That's all way too removed. But if we're gozer across the board by Bishul Akum, because the way we formulated a Xera that we treated as Malchus Asuras, the once it's formulated independent of the reasoning, it has all the rules and regulations of Malchus Asuras. So maybe say the same thing over here. When it comes to Bishol B'Shabbos, that we asked the Kedah because we treated it as a Chetzal Shalitz of Machalos Asuros with all of the details of Machalos Asuros. And then he says, no, maybe everyone would talk to agree when it comes to Bishol B'Shabbos, you don't have to be that Machmir. Because even if when it comes to Bishol Akum, we'll be Machmir across the board, but here, since anyway, this is a very limited, targeted knas, only against the Mevashel himself, not the rest of the world. So I make a case that we should expand that to include the Blios also. So it happens to be that Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the 2 days in Shulchan Aruch Sam Yesh Omrim, so generally we assume like the Sam, that you do require Hefsher Kalim from Bishul Akum. Even though we're makel, it's not close to supposed to, but the Reshechter thinks he could be makel by a ger. Right? If someone converts and they have a whole kitchen full of pots and pans. So before they converted, it was all bishul akum, because the person wasn't Jewish. Now they convert, you have to be tovel the kalim. Now you're Jewish, it's all lias of bishul akum. So you should have said it's dependent on this machlokas rishonim, and in general, by bishul akum, your machmirsi here, we're machmir too. Reshechter thinks he can make it here, as Rabbi Rapp likes to say it, that the chashash by Bishul Akum is a chashash chasinus, and we're not worried that you're going to marry yourself. So at least when it comes to somebody Megayer, you don't have to tovel the kalim also. But even if we're machmir when it comes to Blias and Machal Sasuros, so the Ksav Sofer thinks you don't have to go that far. Maybe Evan would agree. When it comes to Blias of Maaseh Shabbos, I, the Rashba seems to say not that way. Though we asked the Kedera, means lock, stock, and barrel. So nope, not necessarily. He says the Emes B'Chuvas Rashba Einam Mefurash the Platas Kalim Shenasvashav and B'Shabbos Asura. He doesn't spell it out. Ela Demashvim Demagin Avram Kain Mi Dekasa Demavashav L'Kol Amutter L'Yochan Arsam L'Kol Shkever Mei Rabbi Huda. Masha of Mavasha of the Isiraser. So the Rashba Solteris, as we said, was just addressing the fact that this is a Chol Sheshem Sakana. Masha that if it was a real case of Maaseh Shabbos, it would be us even the Kedera. Efshalidchos. Jerakal Heter Tafshil Kaya Rashba. Maybe the focus of the Rashi in addressing the Shaila was addressing the Tafshil. It's when he says that here is the Heter. So maybe that line is addressing the Tafshil as opposed to the Kli, even though the show is asking about the Kli. And maybe the Rashi was not taking a stand on the question of the Kli, and that wasn't his focus in the Tshuva. The Rashi doesn't say anything about the Kli per se. He's just addressing the Shoal, who was asking about the Kli. He thinks it's not necessarily Bechreya, what the Magen Avraham understood the Rashba. Even the Rashba only asked the Tafshil and not Aser the Kli. But Lamaisa, the Magen Avraham quoted as such, Mr. Brewer quoted the Magen Avraham as such, and we would be Choshesh for this Magen Avraham to Aser the Kli. For the Mevashel himself, if it was Bishul B'Shabbes, the Mezer. Okay. Now, the Mishnah talks about Mevashel B'Shabbes. How do we know, or do we know, that this applies to other Malachas as well? Is there anything unique about Bishul? So the Gemara in Kulin invokes this in the context of Shechita. Okay. The Torah, here in the beginning of Shemini Ches, has an example of a Ner that was lit on Shabbos. It's also being Bechlau Maisa Shabbos. And the way the Rambam formulates this in Perek Vav, Halacha Kaf Gimel, Yisrael she'asa malacha b'Shabbos, im avra ba'asa b'zadon, asa lalihanas v'asa malacha la'olam, etc. Right? Yisrael she'asa malacha b'Shabbos, not specifically Bishul, but any malacha, if Yisrael does any malacha on Shabbos, that's subject to the halacha of Maisa Shabbos. And that's what the Rabbah has in, at least in the parenthetical, in Rambah letters, in the beginning of Shin Yuches, O she'asa achas mishar malachos. That's not limited to Bishul, it applies to any malacha. Right, the Mechaber here is not Noke Lashon Rambam. The Mechaber starts on the Bashel B'Shabbos, which is Lashon Mishnah, and the Rama adds Osha Asa Achas Mishar Malachas. So it's not limited to Bishul, it applies to other malachas as well. And we'll see in a few moments, this is probably Machlokas Yishonim, but at least Lahalacha, we assume this could apply to Malachos Derabbanan as well, not only the Raisas. Rambam Perek Kaf Gimel Halacha Ches, deep in the Prakim of the Rabbanans in the Rambam. Perek Kaf Gimel Halacha Ches. Aser lahatbil kelim tmeim b'Shabbos, v'neishu hu k'misakin kli. So you can't do tefillas kelim on Shabbos because of tikkun mana, beit salam advav. I'm skipping. Hamatbil kelim b'Shabbos b'shogi yishamish ben. V'mezid lo yishamish behen ad l'motzai Shabbos. So, if you violated the Sisa Durabban of Tikkun Mana, v'mezid, you're not allowed to use them ad motzai Shabbos. Now, that sounds like it's butter, where the Rama, we didn't get there yet, or we glossed over, but the Rama passes like Rabbi Huda in the halacha we started reading before. So this sounds like Remeir, that Achere, that even Lo would be Mutter L'motzei Shabbos. So we'll see that maybe there's a difference in terms of the application of Maisa Shabbos on Derabbanan as opposed to Deraisas. At least in principle, the fact that there's an Isser of Maisa Shabbos even on Derabbanan, that you see in this Rambam. And that's what the Be'er Halacha tells us in the beginning of Simin Shin Yud Ches, Mevashel B'Shabbos, Umu Malacha D'Rabbanan, Ayin Pri Megadim Shekasav D'Chad Dina Islehu. That the Dina Maisa Shabbos applies to D'Rabbanan as well. Again, we'll see a little bit later, there may be a distinction in application between the Raisa and D'Rabbanan as far as whether we paskin like Remeir or Rabbi Huda, or maybe whether Rabbi Huda would even agree to Remeir, as we'll see the Gaon contends. Okay. Now, we saw the Gemara in Bava Kamma Ayin Aleph that told us, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a distinction between Achila and Hana, based on Tzukim, even though we're learning out the Isser Achila of Maisa Shabbos from a Hekish to Hekdish, that's only as far as the Isser Achila, but not as far as an Isser Hana. Right? So the Orach HaShabbos points out, and this is, we're now in volume 3 of the Orach HaShabbos, Perek Kaf Hei, footnote test. So he points out that the number one, even though the Gemara only says it within Rabbi Yochanan, that you have a distinction between Achil and Anah, presumably that's true according to Rabbi Yehuda and Remeir as well, meaning Rabbi Yehuda and Remeir are not going to be more machmir than Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan is matir Anah, then Rabbi Yehuda and Remeir are surely going to be matir Anah. But if that's the case, that the Gemara there tells us Maisa Shabbos is only relevant for Achil and Hana, so how does that work for Shar Malachos? The Torah's example of lighting a candle, right? So you're not allowed to what? If you light a candle, you can't use a light. That sounds like Hana, right? You're not eating the candle, we hope. You're not eating the flame. You're benefiting from it. So isn't the Torah there, by giving this example, clearly assuming that there's an Isser Hana? And Bechlal, beyond the Malacha of Dishol, or other Malachas done to food, so once you get past the Sidur to pass, so what's the Achila in other Malachas? If the Gemara distinguishes between Achila and Hana, and we're only concerned about Achila. So the Orach HaShabbos suggests, and this seems to be pretty compelling, Mukach, that the distinction between Achila and Hana doesn't mean eating versus benefiting from. It means Achila is a code word for the normal benefit accrued by the Malacha. What is the normal, most direct benefit of the Malacha done? So when it comes to Dishol, the direct benefit is eating. But when it comes to lighting a candle, the direct benefit is using the light. So Achila, in that sense, is somewhat Lavdafka. And you have to say that on the Rambam also, because the Rambam that we didn't finish reading before, the end of Perek Vav, Halacha Kaf Gimel. Yisrael she'asa malacha b'Shabbos, im avar va'asa b'zadon, asur lo lehanos ba'osa malacha l'olam. U'shar Yisrael mutar lehem lehanos ba l'motze Shabbos miyad. Shenemar u'shmartem es ha'Shabbos ki kodesh hi kodesh emaseh kodesh. So, interesting, the Rambam is quoting that pasuk of Rabbi Yochanan ben Samla, even though he's paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. So clearly he understood that distinction is relevant beyond Rabbi Yochanan ben Samla. Kesa, Yisrael Shabbishol v'Shabbos b'mezid, l'mosei Shabbos yochal l'cherim, avalo lo yochal olamis. And Bishol b'shkaga, l'mosei Shabbos yochal bein hu bein acherim, miyad, v'chein kol kayotze b'seh. So the Rambam presents this as an Isser Hana'a, Yisrael She'asr Malach V'Shabbos Ma'avr V'Asr V'Zad and Asr Lali Hanos. And then the example is Bishol, where if you're Mevashah B'Shogeg, Yochal or Lo Yochal, depending on the circumstances. Right? So the Rambam quotes that very distinction, or that very pasuk, that is the source of the distinction between Hana'a and Achila. Yet the Rambam uses the term Hana'a as the operative isser. That seems to point very strongly in this direction, that Hana means different things in different contexts, or for that matter, Achila does, and Hamavash of Shabbos blank Yochal is the context or the relevant term in terms of Bishol, but for the other Malachas, it's what we would call Hana, But that means the most direct way of benefiting from or using or being affected by the malach. So then what is the hana that is taka mutter? So the Mishabur writes in Sifkat and Dalid, so where the Mechaber says, "B'mezet asu lo la'olam," Mishabur lihanas mi'osa malacha, dekansua rabbana. So you can't be nana from that malacha. Mikalmaka mutter lo lihanas mi'dameha shemalacha. You can benefit from the sale of that object or from the value. Meaning, if you're mevashel b'Shabbos, you can't eat that which you cooked, but you could sell it after Shabbos and use the money. So that's a secondary hana, that's a step removed, but that's the kind of hana that is the contrast to the achila that's asura. But achila doesn't mean achila per se, it means the direct, normal benefit from the malacha. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah is mitzayin in the Sharetzi and Sukkot and Zayin, but Mekal Mayin Aleph, Demaisa Shabbos, Mutter, Bahana. So number one, he also understood Midr of Yochanan Asamla Nishma Le Rebbe Huda. And number two, that is, you know, that's a kind of anah of binana bidameh, that's a kind of anah that we're referring to, which would be mutter. But any direct, what we would call benefit from the malach itself, that would fall under the iser achila and not hana. Okay. Now, how broad is the Isser Maisa Shabbos in terms of benefiting from a malacha done on Shabbos? Are there any other gradations or distinctions between types of malachas? Prima Gadim, in the beginning of Shin Yotes, the Siman on Borer, Eishel Avram Tzipkat and Aleph, writes as follows. The Mishnah Berurah is mitzayin this briefly in the Be'er Lach, the beginning of Siman Reish Shin Yotes. So the Prima Gadim writes, Eishel Avram, Shin Yotes of Katan Aleph. Haborer l'chole, pshita d'asu l'bari, shem yarvi b'shvilo. So if you're borer for chola, bari is not allowed to benefit from it. V'im la'olam sarach yin. But the question is, how long can you not benefit from it? When you're borer, the effect of the borer, of the breira, is not so significant. If you cook something, there's no going back. You can't uncook something that was cooked. So the malacha of cooking has a lasting effect. Let's say you're a boer b'isser. You're a boer psolos midoch ochel and Shabbos. And now we have two piles. I have a psolos pile and a boer pile. That was over malacha deraisa. Psolos pile and an ochel pile. That was over malacha deraisa. But I could just as well put the psolos back in the ochel, and then there's no lasting effect of the malacha. In theory, I could put it back, and then I could do a breira behekter or b'isser after Shabbos. It was not isser anymore. So there's no lasting effect of that maisa breira. V'yesh lomar da'aser mitam kenas david isura. Maybe we should still consent him or aser that no, if you did a malacha b'isser, even if the effect is not definitionally lasting, maybe it'll still be aser to be nana. It's tzarachian. The Prima Gadim leaves that as a tzarachian. What is the status of Maisa Shabbos vis-a-vis Boer. If it's something that doesn't necessarily have a lasting effect. So what's a little bit unclear in the Bibagadim is where precisely is the question directed. It is a point, if I'm looking from a Maisa Shabbos perspective, that since I could do it beheter after Shabbos, even if I was Boer be'isser, I could put it back into the Taroves and then do a greater beheter after Shabbos. So since I could do that, that shows that fundamentally the malacha I did isn't that significant a malacha, and therefore maybe we would relax the Maisa Shabbos ramifications. Or is the question only if Lamaisa you actually did that? Only it calls about that you didn't put it back together and mix it again, so then the Maisa Shabbos effect is still there. But it's only if Lamaisa you did mix it together again, so now the effect's not there anymore, so do I still treat this as the same level of Maisa Shabbos? So that's a little bit unclear to Bima Gadim. At what point does this question get off the ground? But either way, Bima Gadim is raising that when it comes to certain malachos where the effect is not as long-standing or not definitionally long-standing, could be undone, does that lead to the same Maisa Shabbos ramifications?
But if he says Yachol on Yach.
Right. But does he mean since you could or because you could, then if you did?
Yachol sounds like he's able to. Doesn't Yachol sound like the fact that he's theoretically able to?
Or maybe it means that Yachol aniach ochol tzolas, you could do it. And since you could do it, if you did it, then it'll be mutter. I think you're correct that that's the more ready reading. Okay.
But in that case, it's still usher on Shabbos, even though you could undo it. Or it's even mutter on Shabbos.
Well, it's not going to be mutter on Shabbos because there's no way of doing the braver beheter on Shabbos, right? He's saying, can you benefit from meaning you have ochel tzolos, so you want to eat the, you want to use the ochel that has been separated from the tzolos. So even if you're to put it back together on Shabbos, that doesn't help you because now you just have a tarobis, but you can't access the ochel because of the tarobis.
Take it in a mature way? Or it's not possible, that's his case, it's not possible.
I'm not sure. I mean, the point is, if you put it back together again on Shabbos, so then, or I guess you could ask your question, like, well, if we're talking about Maisa Shabbos on the effect of the Boer, I think what that means is that you have the classic, the real case of Boer, where you can't really access the Ochel if there's Psolus mixed with it. So then the question is, now that the psalus has been separated, can I access the ochel after Shabbos? Or do we say that since, in theory or maybe in practice, you could mix it together and then be bar beheter, so then once you're bar beheter, now you can access the ochel and use it. But on Shabbos itself, it's how they were talking about a tzir where it's not usable without having benefited from the malacha that you did. Now, the extreme of what the Prima Gadim is getting at, that there may be different gradations of malacha in terms of the...
One second. Yeah. The lashon of the Prima Gadim sounds like you're not actually accomplishing anything. Because as lashon is, it could be it's different over here, because I can just leave it to Lotzei Shabbos and take care of it and do all the Borer. So it's kind of an interesting meaning. It kind of implies that if you are doing something significant with the Borer, then that's for sure okay, but it's only in this...
What do you mean it's for sure okay?
Because as Lashon towards the end is Mashenkin Borer Yachol Aniach Ochel Absolas Kmo Shehayo Livor Bechol, which sounds like
Borer as opposed to Mevash, it doesn't have a lasting effect. Any situation of Borer, you could always put the mixture back together again and start from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So the extreme of this, and the extreme may not necessarily be Malamed anything other than itself, but the extreme of this is Hotzah. the Ksuvim of Melacha, where the Melacha has no lasting effect or even temporary effect on the object which is subject to the Melacha. So this is a Machlokas Tanaim and a Machlokas Rishonim, Gemara and Eirvin, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, onto Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara there is a Machlokas Tanaim. There are two dais and two permutations of the case. But let's just focus on the one that's particularly nogei us, which is, let's say you have fruit that you remove from the tchum on Shabbos, and then you bring it back to civilization. Right, so let's say, in the Mazer case, you remove fruit, you move fruit outside of the tchum on Shabbos, and then you bring it back, b'mezid, and then you bring it back into the tchum. So are you allowed to use that fruit that had left the tchum and now came back? So that's machlokas rishonim, that's machlokas tanam, machlokas rishonim. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, simin tatei siftes, like the Bali Tosfos, that it's mutter even b'mezid. That even if you remove fruit, you remove something from the Tchum on Shabbos b'mezid, and then you bring it back, it's going to be mutter to use that on Shabbos. So the Rishonim are bothered, why isn't that a violation of Maisa Shabbos? Right, you did a Melacha b'Isser, you violated an Isser b'mezid on these fruits. So how are you allowed to eat the fruit, even on Shabbos, if there's an Isser done to these fruits? So we'll focus on two approaches to Mishnah, even though there are more, but these are the what's particularly Nogei L'Inyaneinu. The Ritva is two days. The first is the same as the Tosos here on the page, but the Ritva is more expansive than Tosos. So we'll read it in the Ritva. It's Tosas Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur Maskil L'Tzadim. But let's read it from the Ritva, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur Maskil Amar Rav Papa. Ubaha mitartza mai demachshu hacha. Hechi amrina en dafilu hechzer b'mezid yu mutarim l'taltel. So how is it that even if you remove the fruit, the mezid, and then brought it back on Shabbos, you're allowed to eat the fruit on Shabbos? Hakai malan mevashel the mezid b'Shabbos lo yochal b'afilu remeir the mekel v'adin l'chol ma'aseh Shabbos. Even a remeir, the biggest mekel, doesn't allow a mevashel the mezid to eat b'osayom. So how is it that if you remove fruit from the tchum, the mezid on Shabbos, and brought it back, you're allowed to eat those fruits? Aval yesh lomar, the hasam hu b'shabbos. Aval hacha b'yantav eskina, the leka ela iser tchumin derabbanan, u'mishum iser tchumin lo kansina le shelo yochu. So the Ritva says, and the Tosa says this also, but the Ritva says a little bit more, that no, there's a the distinction is between Shabbos and Yantav. The Okimta that he's making in the Gemara and Eirvin is we're talking about Yantiv, but there's no, potentially there are two issues here. There's Hotzah and there's Chumin. So on Yantiv, where there's no Isser Hotzah because of Ochol Nefesh, or it's only at worst a Derabbanan, so the only thing that remains is Isser Chumin. Isser Chumin is Derabbanan. And there's no knas on Maisa Shabbos under abundance. So this day in the Ritva, and Tosus assume that, not like we were saying before in the Rambam and what the Mishnah Berurah from the Pei Megadim, that Maisa Shabbos applies to their abundance as well. So these Rishonim, at least this day in the Ritva, and Tosus assume, Tosus and Erevin assume, that Maisa Shabbos is only relevant for their Rishonim, not for their abundance. So according to the Ritva, there's fundamentally no difference. Sorry. According to the Ritva, there's fundamentally no difference between Hotzah and any other Malach as far as Maaseh Shabbos. The only reason that we're matir the peiros sheyatzal chutzakum is because we're talking about yomtiv, but there's only an issur derabbanan to contend with. Magen Avraham there is bothered. How can this be? Don't we assume that there is an issur ma'aseh Shabbos even for the rabbanans? Magen Avraham siman tafei sefkat and yudalid. So he comes up with an okimta. Bitzarach lomar the dafka b'deislei priyachwini. Hakamari b'deleslei priyachwini. Periyachwini. So maybe we only answer Ma'aseh Shabbos on Rabbanans if it's not as critical to use. Meaning the okimta here is where you have nothing else to eat. If nothing else to eat, the only thing you have to eat is something that's yatsa chutzukum. So then, if it's only nisid rabbanon, we'll be makel and ma'aseh Shabbos. That's the Magen Avraham's okimta. The Magen Avraham isn't willing to say that there's a possibility in Rishonim that there's no ma'aseh Shabbos under Rabbanans. But that's you do get the impression that these Rishonim may actually hold if you're not willing to take one of these okimtas among the Ram, then maybe there's no ma'aseh Shabbos under Rabbanans, at least on Sur under Rabbanans. But then the Ritva has a second teretz. Quoting from Rabbeinu Yonah, Afilu b'Shabbos lo mitzer ma'isa Shabbos mivnei shenasa bo iser ha'avara b'shus harabim ha'utzah v'achnasa. That, no, you don't have to tell me it's Yonah. Even on Shabbos, there's no iser ma'isa Shabbos for something that was subject to hotzah or havara. Shelo asu b'maisa Shabbos eladavar sheyesh bo maisa dahainu shenasa shum tikun begufo shezen nekra maisa. Maisa Shabbos is only relevant if there's something done to the chefza tikun begufo, to the object that you're doing the melacha to. Vahainu dinatina b'chol duchta maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos implies that there's a maisa that has a lasting effect, or that has a discernible effect. The time of the mistabrik. So when it comes to hotzah, hotzah malach grua, at least according to some Rishonim, that's why hotzah is malach grua, that there's no effect to the chetzah. So it's also not going to be subject to ma'aseh Shabbos. You don't have to give us an okimta that we're talking about for Yom Tov Shabbos. No, even on Shabbos, because the Ritzvah goes in Rabbeinu Yonah, Ma'aseh Shabbos is not relevant. There is no shinui beguf hakafsa. You have to figure out if that does apply anywhere outside of Hotzah, but at least when you argue the same thing by Borer in the Prima Gaddim's presentation, is that called shinui beguf hakafsa?
Could be,
yes. I'm sorry?
Cooking water also. We said no.
Cooking water, right. So cookie water may be unique because that might be...
Because it might be bishul and it's just unique.
Well, it definitely is bishul, but it's a different tier of bishul. But yes, you have to figure out how broadly would you place this unique to Hotzah. Does it apply anywhere beyond Hotzah? Correct, but the way he puts it in Rabbeinu Yonah, it's that there's no shinui beguf ha-chefetz. So maybe that applies, maybe there are other malachas that would be relevant to also. mean, that's what it sounds like in the Rambam also. Perek Vav Halacha Kaf Dalet. Peiros Sheyatzu Chutz Tchum B'Chazru. So the Rambam passes against the Bali Tosos that b'meiz that you're not allowed to eat it, b'Shabbos. I'll read the Rambam first. Peres sheyatzu chutz tchum b'chazru, v'shogeg yochlu b'shabbos, sherei lo nasa v'guf and ma'isa v'lo nishtanu, v'meizu lo yochlu ad motzei Shabbos. So the Rambam also has to contend with how is this different from the Mevashel b'shabbos, but not in the same extreme. Because the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda by Maisa Shabbos. So Mevashel b'shabbos, according to the Rambam, if it's b'shogeg lo yochel ad motzei Shabbos, and b'meizid lo yochel olam esu and acherim is motzei Shabbos, but here the Rambam paskins b'shogeg everyone can eat it on Shabbos, b'meizid lo yochel ad motzei Shabbos. So the shogeg is different. So why here are we more made with shogeg? So here the Rambam says that same idea of lo nasa b'gufa and mice of lo nishan. So he's not saying that to explain why there's no Maisa Shabbos at all, but he's saying to explain why it's not as chomor as Mevashel b'Shabbos. Mishabrura in Be'er Halacha Achas Mishar Melachos Kotzachai Adam, who kind of formulates this Lahalacha, Kotzachai Adam called Dalid, Dafka B'davar Shenasa Maisa B'guf HaDavar Shenishtana Mi Kimos Shahaya Kimavash V'chayotze Bo Aval Hamoti Mishus or Shus Shalonishtana Dabra Mikamos Shahaya in the Shogig Mutra Filalo, Vafila Bobayom, in the Mazid Asura Fila Kherim of Mose Shabbos Miyad, Umikal Makab Yeshla Hafmi Bukhali Suri Torah, Kimo Mivasha. So in principle, he says that Mose Shabbos is only relevant if you have something where there's a Shino Ibibuf Sachetsa, as opposed to Hotzah. And in principle, that's not limited to Hotzah, meaning any malacha that fits into that category wouldn't be subject to Maisa Shabbos. But in practice, he says, Yesh lahachmir by any Isur Torah, even if there's no Shinoi, the Guf HaChefza. Okay, so let's stop here. Next time, Yirtzeh Hashem, we will pick up and discuss how we paskin in the Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda, and then certain practical applications of Maaseh Shabbos. We'll try to wrap up the topic next time, and then move on to the meat of Shemitah Pes. Okay, next week, I have to be on Monday anyway to give an SR. So maybe we'll just have Shira Monday instead of Sunday.